On a recent evening, men lined up to get into Harrington Hall, the state's largest homeless shelter.
Oh, you got any bottles on you? Huh? You mind unzipping your jacket for me, please?
Once their backpacks are checked for alcohol and weapons, they're allowed into the former gymnasium on the grounds of the Pastore complex in Cranston. 54-year-old Walter McLean, who's been living on the streets for 2.5 years, says the shelter has saved his life.
I'm glad it's here. I mean, without this place, I would have never made it through this winter.
Harrington Hall, like the other shelters in the state, is seeing record demand for services. According to the Rhode Island Coalition for the Homeless, the state's homeless population has mushroomed by 24% since the recession began 5 years ago. Harrington Hall routinely packs in more than 100 men in a space designed to sleep 88. What's more, federal and state funding haven't kept pace with demand, says Jean Johnson, executive director of the House of Hope, which runs Harrington Hall.
Sometimes we look very, very closely at the checking account to see that there's money in it, and it runs close. We have never been able to say, we can't pay you this week. But we have had a few really close weeks when things have been very difficult. Those are the nights that I really don't sleep.
Johnson has a lot of company during those sleepless nights.
The Institute for Nonviolence, how can I help you?
Back in December, the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence had to lay off a third of its staff because of reductions in federal and state funding. And Institute Director Tenny Gross took a 40% cut in pay.
Between federal, state, and undergrants, we actually lost in about 2.5 years about $920,000. Now, to the credit of private donors, we have increased the funding from private donors and even some foundation. Because if we just lost $920,000, the Institute probably wouldn't be here.
Good morning, Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence. May I help you?
The financial outlook is no better for the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Director Deb DeBaer says her coalition, made up of 6 agencies, has lost $1 million a year, 20% of its funding, due to the state and federal budget cuts.
There used to be $425,000 in the state budget to support the court advocates. And at this point, we're down to a pitiful, I think it's about $125,000 or so. It's just a ridiculously low amount where we're supposed to be able to provide services to over 5,000 victims every year.
The result, says DeBaer, is that victims of domestic violence have to be turned away.
It's just heart-wrenching when someone is on the phone and feeling desperate that they need someone to help support them in court or that they don't know where to turn for help, and we have to say to them, we don't have enough advocates available to help you.
The financial squeeze isn't the exclusive domain of nonprofits that provide human services. Perishable Theater was aptly named. It went under about a year ago when restructuring efforts failed. The Providence Black Repertory Company closed in 2009 after the organization failed to keep a positive cash flow. Loss of state and federal contracts is only part of the problem. Donations from individuals and corporations fell precipitously when the recession began. Although donations have recovered somewhat, they remain a source of concern, according to Patrick Rooney, associate dean at the Indiana University School of Philanthropy.
Giving has recovered since the Great Recession has ended, but just like the rest of the economy has been growing at a relatively slow state of recovery, giving by households and giving overall has grown at such a slow rate that it would take another decade to reach where we were in 2007 before the Great Recession began.
Of the 50 states, Rhode Island ranks 5th from the bottom for charitable giving, according to the Chronicle of Philanthropy's annual How America Gives report. Another problem, says the Rhode Island Foundation's Neil Steinberg, is that there are too many nonprofits. Indeed, according to the Secretary of State's office, the number of nonprofits in Rhode Island has swollen by 12% since 2008, from roughly 6,700 to close to 7,500.
Do I innately believe there are too many? Yeah, the barrier to entry isn't hard, though. If you and I want to start a nonprofit today, and assuming we have a legitimate purpose to do it, we file with the IRS, we do the proper forms, we go out and raise some money, we rent a space, we hire an executive director, and we're another nonprofit. Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, and I think that nonprofits or groups thinking about forming a nonprofit should look at the landscape. Is it really a program that should be a part of another nonprofit rather than an organization with overhead?
Nonprofits are meeting the financial challenge in a variety of ways. Two nonprofits that help immigrants, the International Institute and Dorcas Place, saved $250,000 when they merged last year. Trinity Rep trimmed costs and increased programming. And everyone's doing more fundraising, says Jim Rizek of the Rhode Island Coalition for the Homeless. But he cautions it's a distraction from their primary mission.
It takes you away from the mission and the purpose that you are trying to fulfill. Instead of serving people, you're looking for money to serve the people, and you're looking for money at ever increased amounts of time.
So the once robust nonprofit sector is going through a shakeout, leaving many Americans without services and culling the weak from the strong. And if you don't think it will affect you, think again. Anyone who goes to a museum, works out at the Y, or goes to a theater production is reliant on a nonprofit. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.